Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Well, good morning, church family. Good to see you all. Also, any of the children like to go to Ridge Kids, you're more than welcome to follow the Fishers there. We're going to be in the book of Galatians here this morning, Galatians chapter number 4. And if you need a Bible, there is one right down there in front of you, or you can follow along here on the screen here with us here this morning. But we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 20 here in Galatians chapter 4. And Paul's letter here was written to these believers here at Galatia who Paul had labored with them and shared the gospel with them. They came to be believers in Christ. But then we soon find out that false teachers had crept in and they had started to teach these new believers that, hey, you didn't do enough. You have to now ascribe to all the things of Moses, and you have to get circumcised, and you have to keep the law. You have to do all of this stuff. And of course, basically, Paul was pretty appalled by that because the news of what they were doing, he was so distraught by it that he tells them, he says, I'm astounded, right? In chapter 1, he says, I'm astounded that you have believed another gospel, right? That you've moved away from the gospel of grace, and now you're moving towards this whole thing of law-based, works-based type of thing. And he tells them, he says, hey, look, if anybody preaches any type of other gospel other than what I gave you, let them be accursed, right? So Paul was pretty moved by that, and really the book of Galatians can be divided up into three main sections. In chapters 1 and 2, you have Paul giving his defense of the gospel, because these false teachers were saying things like, hey, well, Paul, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. And so Paul sits there and says, no, this is the gospel, and he defends the gospel. Later on, in chapters 5 and 6, you're going to see Paul kind of really go through some of the things of what the gospel does. This is all like the practical side of the gospel, of how the gospel works in our lives. Because one of the arguments that the false teachers were making was saying, well, you know, if you just live a life of grace, if you just believe in Jesus and live a life of grace, and you don't ascribe to this whole thing of, you know, keeping the law and doing this and doing that, then it's going to lead to sinful living. You can just do whatever you want. But Paul really kind of pulls those things out and says, no, he says a person who is spirit-filled, a person who knows Christ, they've been transformed by the gospel, therefore their lives are going to be evidenced by these type of things in their living. And then in chapters 3 and 4, this is kind of where we've been here these past couple months or so. And here in chapters 3 and 4, Paul has been giving his kind of theological argument for the gospel that those in the Old Testament were saved by grace. It wasn't a matter of keeping laws, keeping works, all that kind of stuff. And he really shows how all the people in the Old Testament came to faith in Christ because they believed God. That was it, right? Remember he gave that whole discourse there about Abraham and all of that? And so he's been talking about that. So this section here that we're going to look at here in Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 20, this section here, you're going to kind of see the pastor side of Paul, if you will. This section, this chunk here, is probably one of the most intimate passages here in the book of Galatians, because Paul only references the false teachers two times. And that's the only time he actually references them in the whole book of Galatians, and he uses it with the word they. They are saying this. They are doing that, right? But you'll see as we read through this, Paul uses words like you and I, referencing the Galatians an astounding 45 times. So this is like Paul sitting down with somebody one-on-one and really just pouring out his heart and saying, I can't believe that you're doing this. I can't believe that you're acting this way. Don't you see where this is leading? Don't you see how this is going to end up? So this is Paul pouring out his heart intimately to these Galatian believers. And basically what he's trying to help them to do is he's begging them to stay firm in the gospel of grace. Don't be persuaded. Don't be moved out from what the gospel really is, that we have been saved by grace through faith alone, not by works, not anything that we've done. Our growth in Christ is not based upon anything we do. It's all through grace, through faith. Paul is really trying to help them understand that, and he wants them to stay firm in the gospel of grace. And so because this scripture is Holy Spirit inspired, I believe this is what the Holy Spirit wants for us to hear as well, that we need to stay firm in the gospel of grace. So that's what I'd like for you to take away with you today. Stay firm in the gospel of grace. How will we stay firm? How can we do this? You know, it's one of these things that as a teacher of the word, we always want the application of it. Believe it or not, if you read through the book of Galatians, which we've given some application, but if you read through the book of Galatians, this section, verses 8 through 20, is the first time that Paul will actually say, this is what you have to do. All before that, it's none of that. It's just him giving a defense, him saying, I'm defending the gospel. These are some arguments from the Old Testament about the gospel. But here in this section, Paul's actually going to make some application and say, this is what you must do. So if we want to stay firm in the gospel of grace, how are we going to do that? And I believe Paul gives us some motivations to do so. Let's take a look at our text here. We're going to read this in three chunks here, three different paragraphs, and we'll see how we need to stay firm in the gospel of grace. So the first part, Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Listen to what Paul writes here. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. So if we are going to stay firm in the gospel of grace, I believe the first thing that we need to do is to keep our relationship with God simple. Don't overcomplex it. Keep it simple. Listen to what Paul says here. He wants them to remember their relationship with God. Because he tells them, basically, he says, look, formerly when you did not know God, then verse 9, but now that you have come to know God. Last couple of weeks, we kind of talked a little bit about this whole idea that when we came into a relationship with God, when we believed in Jesus by faith, what Jesus has done for us, that he died on the cross for our sins, took our punishment for our sins, when we believe that, the Bible says that we are now sons of God. God is our Father. We have this relationship with God. And Paul's trying to help them to remember, don't you remember formerly You were without God, but now you are part of the family. Don't try to overcomplex it. And that's exactly what these believers were trying to do. They were saying, hey, we have to do this, we got to do this, and I got to add this, and I got to put this, and I got to do this, and I got to make sure I'm doing this. And Paul's saying, no. Remember your relationship with God. It's very simple. Now notice here how Paul shows them that they were forgetting their simple relationship with God. Before Jesus had saved them, before they knew God, they were, look what he says, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. These were false gods. And during this time, during this first century, the false gods were gods like Zeus. They were gods like Hermes, all of these mythological type gods, right? And Paul says, before you knew God, you were enslaved to these gods that were not gods. But then he tells them, he says, they were now going back to those days of slavery. But now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? And so Paul basically says, I don't understand this. You have been set free by God's grace, but now all of a sudden you want to go back to slavery and be enslaved to those weak, remember what we talked about last week, the elementary principles of this world? Now, I think this is really interesting because after you read verse 9, you would kind of think that Paul might add in there and say, I'm amazed that you want to go back to gods like Zeus and Hermes, but he doesn't. What does he say? Look at verse number 10. You observe days and months and seasons and years. He called these Galatians out for observing features of Judaism. These are what the Jews observe. And he calls them out for observing these things. They kept the special days of the weekly Sabbath. They observed the monthly new moon celebration and seasonal festivals like Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles. They were even inclined to keep the sabbatical and jubilee years. All of that is Old Testament. And Paul says, I'm amazed that you now all of a sudden you've been set free, but now you want to be enslaved again to these elementary principles. And so Paul is basically telling them, and he's concluding, that they were going back to their old life slavery, to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world. Zeus and Hermes, those are dead religions, false gods. And these Galatians were in danger of being enslaved to all that again. And it made Paul very fearful, because look what he says. Don't you see the pastor heart here in Paul? Look what he says in verse 11. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. I can't believe it. I've spent so much time pouring my life into you, and now this is what you're doing? I'm afraid I have labored over you in vain. And so the Galatians were trading sonship now for slavery. They had been set free, but they were wanting to turn back again to the worthless and elementary principles. Can I give you a word here? I believe that people that sometimes get caught up in legalism are very sincere people. Meaning they have a relationship with God and they don't want to do anything to ever offend God. They don't want to do anything ever to do anything that might look like they're offending God or whatever. And so then they adopt all kinds of sort of rules and regulations that they're going to start living by because they love God. They don't want to hurt God. They don't want to offend God. And I believe these Galatian believers, the false teachers had came in, and maybe the situation kind of went like this, like, oh, you know God now, you have a relationship with, oh, that's great. You know, we want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to live a life that never, ever offends God. And here's some ways that we can make sure that we're going to do that, right? And then here comes all the list of do's and oh, don't forget, you got to keep the tabernacle, oh, Feast of the Tabernacle, oh, have you been circumcised yet? Oh, you haven't, oh, okay, right. All of this stuff just starts getting piled on. And Paul says, I can't believe that you're turning back to that slavery. And so the point is clear. God wants us to remember that our relationship with God is simple. We are sons. Now look at the key to all of this is to always remember who you are. Because look what verse number 9 says. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. This is what they had forgotten. They had forgotten that they had come to know God through grace, and they had forgotten that they were known by God through grace, not through works, not through a works-based relationship. And I think we can get off track on that sometimes as well when we are trying to appease God by trying to do certain things, and we feel that, hey, if I just do this, or if I do enough of this, if I can do that, God's really going to like me. But the truth of the matter is when we came into a relationship with God, we were what? A sinner. God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. So it wasn't because we were keeping the law. It certainly wasn't because we were all polished up and looked nice on the outside, right? No. God extended his love and his mercy and his grace towards us solely based upon what Jesus Christ had done for us, not based upon anything that we had done. And so these believers at Galatia had forgotten that. And they forgot to keep their relationship with God very simple. Had they kept it simple and remained forever conscious that they knew God, and more importantly, God knew them, they would have been protected from legalism. And I've been in, a church, previous church here where I was an assistant pastor. There was some of that legalism, you know, that had crept into the church there that, you know, you had to do certain things. You had to perform a certain way. You had to look like a certain way, right? In order for, hey, ooh, yeah. I'll never forget youth group that I was a youth pastor there. It was told to the students there that God, that people would know that they were a Christian because they dressed a certain way. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that Scripture tells us, even Jesus says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. By what? Because you have love for one another, right? And so we got to be careful and not allow that performance-based living to really drive our relationship with Christ. We are known by God because of grace, not because of anything that we do or what we don't do. Okay. Let's look at the second thing. Live a life of freedom. Galatians 4, 12 through 16. Look what Paul says. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, You did not scorn or despise me, but receive me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? Live a life of freedom. And so if we're going to stay firm in the gospel of grace, we need to live a life of freedom. God wants us to stay free. To stay free, to be free. God wants us to be free, firmly entrenched in Christian liberty. Christ won everything for us on the cross. He won liberty for us. He gave us grace that we don't deserve. He gave us mercy that we don't deserve. And he wants us to stay free. Be free from the entanglements of legalism. You know, freedom is an interesting word today. And a lot of people talk about freedom, right? One of my favorite movies is Braveheart with, what's that one guy's name? And I can't think of his name now. But he's over there, and there towards the end, he's been fighting for freedom, and everybody else been squabbling over for titles and nobility and lands and all this kind of stuff. But there at the end, William Wallace, you know, will you recant? No, I won't, you know. And so they put him to the rack and they stretch him and all this kind of stuff. There at the very end, right? They're like, oh, the prisoner wishes to speak. You know, they're about ready to chop off his head. And they like everyone silences and he goes, freedom! You know, this big thing about freedom, right? So Paul says here, he says, I want you to become as I am, to be free. Paul talked about this freedom in our relationship with God. I think sometimes people want to talk about freedom as it refers to freedom from an institution, right? Freedom from political entities, or even freedom from biological design, right? I want to be free. Well, Paul is referencing our relationship with God, to be free in God. Paul wants us to be free from a works-based relationship, and we should stay free from legalism. Now, it's one thing to say, live a life of freedom. Live a life free from legalism. But how does one actually do that? Think about this. Paul was a Jew. He grew up Jewish. He was Jew. Although he lived like a Gentile. Because look what he says in verse number 12. He says, brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. So Paul was a Jew, but yet there in Galatia, he did everything like a Gentile. He was clearly free from the law, and so should they. But how do we do that? Well, Paul's going to break it down for us here. Here's four things. Number one, remain grace-oriented. The first step to freedom is to remain grace-oriented, just like Paul. Meaning, Paul was convinced that there was nothing that he could do in God's sight to earn God's favor. Nothing at all. And so we got to remain grace-oriented in our lives. He was convinced that a law-free approach to the Christian life was the right approach. Paul knew that his salvation in Christ through grace was far more amazing than anything that he could ever do himself, right? He couldn't earn it. And so he clung to the cross and applied Christ's freedom to the way he lived. Last week, I gave you some of those things on how we can remember about our relationship with God as our Father. One of the things that I said was to preach the gospel to yourself every single day. One of the things we have to remember is the gospel is not just something that just happened in the past, though I believed in Christ. The gospel is ongoing. It's a continual process. And so we got to preach the gospel to ourselves every single day. Christ has saved me, right? There was nothing that I could do. Christ has forgiven me of all my sin. Christ has delivered me from death, right? Christ resurrected me to new life in Jesus. Because the gospel, I believe, is the answer to every single problem that we ever have in life. Everything. It's answered in the gospel. And so we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. And so Paul says, hey, look, I'm going to remain grace-oriented. I'm going to remember what Christ has done for me. I'm not going to try to tack on all kinds of extra stuff on here so that I can try to have a relationship with God. And so when we remind ourselves of the good news of the gospel, it helps us to stay grace-oriented. And I believe the Galatians do this because they watched Paul, who was an ex-Pharisee. They watched Paul, somebody who was steeped in Jewish tradition and Jewish customs, now to eat with them and eat the things that Gentiles would be eating. This is astounding. What? You're doing this, right? Yeah. Because Paul says, hey, I'm going to remain grace-oriented in all of that. Secondly, stay free in Christ. To stay free in Christ, we must be culturally flexible. Look what also Paul says here in verse 12 again. I also have become as you are. Again, he had become like these Gentiles, even though he was a Jew. Paul was culturally flexible. I think one of the dangers that sometimes happens in any type of mission type work overseas, you know, things like that, is people try to take a specific brand of Christianity and try to make it apply to cultural differences, okay? One thing I'm thinking of is I had a friend who was a missionary in Germany, and while he was over there, the custom there in Germany is drinking. Now, not in the sense of, oh, we're going to get drunk, but the social drinking, that's how people share their time. That's how people relate to each other, all those types of things. And so he was doing that. He was embracing the culture of the people that he was ministering to. Well, unfortunately, one of the pastors of a church that was supporting him found out about this, and that's a, oh, no, you can't do that, right? So he dropped their support, but then not only that, but then he began calling up other churches that supported that missionary and told them, and they said, oh, boy, we can't have that, so they dropped their support as well. And so if we're going to remain free in Christ, we got to be culturally flexible, okay? And, you know, there are different cultures, there are different things. I mean, even the Bible tells us that Christ himself is calling people to himself from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, right? I mean, I'm sorry, but heaven is not going to look like America, right? Okay? It's going to be a mixed bag of people from every culture, every nation, every tongue. And God is calling all of those people to himself. And so we need to be culturally flexible. The gospel is so powerful that it can work anywhere, even across cultures. Right? So we don't need to tie ourselves down to one specific culture and say, well, that's the only way that it can be done in other things. And so Paul says, hey, I became as you are. Here's the third thing. Be focused on the inner person. To be free in Christ, we need to stay focused on the inner person. I think most legalists make a big deal about appearances, and they don't really focus so much on the inner person. It's all about what we look like, what we're doing, right? So we got to stay focused on the inner person. How we're growing in Christ, right? And now I will say that as we grow in Christ, the inward, right, it eventually does affect the external, right? But it's not all about, hey, we're going to focus only on the external, right? No, we focus in on the inner person. Notice what Paul says here, right? Verse 13. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. Now, I don't think Paul was a very handsome man when he showed up over there at Galatia. I mean, the guy had been through a lot. I mean, if you read some of the stuff that he went through, the beatings and the scourgings and all of this stuff, I don't think he was somebody that'd be like, oh, wow, you know, I can't wait to go hear that guy, right? So Paul says it's not all about the external, right? Because he says, when I came, he says, I had this bodily ailment. Now, some people try to guess and figure out what this bodily ailment was. Like some people say, well, I think it was his eyes. He even mentions here, he says, you know, when I first showed up, you guys were so enamored with the message and everything. You were willing to gouge out your eyes for me. So some people think he might have had an eye problem. Sometimes some people think that he had a problem with malaria, that he contracted malaria, but nobody really knows. And I think that's kind of like where Paul says, hey, I have a bodily ailment, right? There's something out there, but I don't really, it's just a bodily ailment, okay? And so I'm suffering from this. And so they didn't make it all about appearances at first, but now it was all about appearances for them. And so they were no longer focused on the inner man. It was all the external from all of that. I think we get into trouble when we become attracted to style over substance. When it becomes more about what it looks like rather than what the substance of it actually is. And so we should never do that. If we're going to live a life of freedom, focus on the inner person in all of that. Here's the last thing that Paul says here in order to live a life of freedom. Be receptive to truth. Look what he says here in verse 16. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? We can stay free in Christ by being receptive to the truth. Paul was so shocked how quickly they had turned away from the true gospel to now turning and enslaving themselves back into this legal code to try to have a relationship with God. They'd gone from a sacrificial love towards him that made them willing to hurt themselves for his sake to declaring Paul their enemy in no time at all. Because he says, have I now become your enemy? I mean, you guys were willing to gouge out your eyes for me, but now I'm your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? I think sometimes by giving people the truth, I believe in general, none of us like to be corrected. None of us like to have things pointed out in our lives. But a person who loves you, a person who cares about you, a person that wants to speak truth into your life, they are willing to offend you and sometimes even make you feel like you're being hurt by them by speaking truth into your life. That's what Paul was willing to do. Have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And so if we're going to live a life of freedom, we have to be willing to listen to truth. And once we are no longer receptive to the truth, we are prime candidates to slip into legalism because our law-prone hearts need constant course correction in all kinds of things. So God wants us to keep our relationship with him simple, to live a life of freedom. Let's look at the last thing we find in this text about staying free in the gospel, staying firm in the gospel. Stay focused on Christ. Galatians 4, 17 through 20. That's the false teachers, make much of you, but for no good purpose. They, the false teachers, want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, My little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. So if we want to stay firm in the gospel of grace, this third paragraph tells us that God wants us to stay focused on the ultimate goal. What is that? Till Christ be formed in you. Having Christ formed within us. We're not trying to fake Christ-likeness, but to learn of Christ and to submit to the Spirit so much that Christ's life is formed in us. This was Paul's desire for the believers at Galatia. Now look what the false teacher's agenda was. Look at verse 17, right? They make much of you. Make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. This is one of the tactics of any types of false teaching. They will make much about you. This is called love bombing. Hey, oh, you're so great. Oh, yeah. Okay, love bombing. They make much about, oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're great. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that, right? Love bombing. And the purpose for them to do this is to shut you out from any other voices of reason that might say, like, hey, danger, you're a false teaching, your false gospel here, right? And so they want to be the only voices that are speaking into your life, okay? So he says they make much of you, and that's what their agenda is. They made a big deal about the Galatians so the Galatians would be cut off from everyone else. But look how Paul responds to that. Look what he says. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, but this was not for a good purpose, right? This was for a purpose only to serve for the false teachers, right? Look what we're doing. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And so Paul did not want to separate the Galatians unto himself. He wanted to, like a parent, make much of the Galatians for a good purpose. And what was the purpose? Till Christ be formed in them. This is why, listen, church, this is why we are to be laboring in people's lives. How are you helping someone have Christ formed in them? How are you pouring your life into somebody else to help them have Christ formed in them? You know what that involves sometimes? Speaking the truth, right? Sometimes that means, hey, I love you, I care about you, right? So how are we helping people have Christ formed in them? Now, again, we're not talking about a list of do's and don'ts here, right? We're talking about helping them be established in their relationship with God through grace. How are we doing that, right? So Paul says here, till Christ be formed in you. Now, if you don't have that phrase underlined in your Bible, this is a good one to underline. This phrase, Christ formed in you, is the essence of the Christian life. It's a phrase that depicts God working to develop us as his children into the image of his only begotten Son. Slowly, steadily, faithfully, this is what God is doing. Till Christ be formed in us. Step by step, moment by moment, degree by degree, God is working all of these things in us. It isn't fake. We're not acting. It's not a legalistic front. It's true transformation from the inside out. And so we must keep this as our main focus. And when we do, we throw ourselves into the study of Christ. We spend our time yielding to the Spirit. We spend time with the Father. And almost kind of like a cucumber that you stick in a jar. And you pour that brine in there and it goes and out comes a pickle. Okay? We have to soak in Christ. Soak him in so much that it changes us from the inside. So we need to stay focused on Christ. Stitch Fix is an online company that basically what they do is you go online and you fill out your size that you wear, styles that you like, patterns, all that kind of stuff. And what they do is they have people that work there for a company, and they find clothing that suits all of your stuff, and then they send it to you. So it's like kind of having like a personal designer person, whatever, and you pay for this. And so they send you the clothing, you get it, you try it on, and you keep what you want. You send the rest back, okay? The company went great guns because it mostly appealed to women, okay? I mean, this is great. Oh, I could have a personal stylist, you know, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was a money-making machine. But in 2023, Stitch Fix laid off 20% of their employees, and they had to close one of their large branches there, I think in Salt Lake City, Utah. All because they lost their focus. They said, oh boy, this is great, we're appealing to this, but let's broaden our perspective a little bit, and now let's try to do it for men and children. Now, if you know one thing about men, okay, we'll wear the same shirt for 40 years. If you go in my closet, I'm not kidding you, I have the same exact style of shirt, just in different colors. Now you'll be watching next time, you know, I'm up here, right? Oh, this is this shirt, right? Okay. So they lost their focus. And because they lost their focus, they lost exactly what they were supposed to be doing. We must keep our focus on Christ always. Keep that as the main goal. Stay focused on Christ. So stay firm in the gospel of grace and what God has done in you. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.